Amen. We invite you to take your Bibles and turn with us this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. As we begin looking at the walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ, we have passed the doctrinal section of 1 Timothy, and now we are in that practical section where Paul teaches us what we should be doing as we look for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Great admonition here. Paul, remember, is talking primarily in this letter to his young friend Timothy, who is now a minister of the gospel in the city of Ephesus. And he is telling Timothy to some things that he needs to be careful to do, to follow, and careful to obey. In the remainder of chapter 4 here, we are going to see at least 12, depends on how you divide these things up and how you put them in different sections or categories, but I found 12 exhortations here, or 12 characteristics or marks of a good minister, a servant of Jesus Christ. We'll get into that in just a moment. When I prepared the message for today, we were planning for Debbie Melton to be here, and Wednesday night we found out that her PowerPoint presentation was not compatible with our equipment. And so we spent all night Wednesday night trying to get it converted from Japanese technology to American technology. We finally got that accomplished, and then so Debbie was going to be here. The PowerPoint presentation does not have sound, so Debbie was going to do the narration in person, and she got sick. And so the message today was prepared with that in mind, that she would be doing probably a 20-25 minute presentation, and that then I would be giving the introduction to chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. But that all being said, let's go ahead and look at this passage of Scripture. Again, think about the 11 or 12 points that Paul is giving to us of how we as servants of Jesus Christ should be conducting our lives. Let's stand, if you're able to stand, as we read God's Word, beginning in verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, through the remainder of the chapter. And it starts with that big proverbial if, the condition upon which all of these things are based. If we do these things, the promise is given in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Father in heaven, the word of God is inspired. It is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I'll be first to admit, Father, I need all of those things in my life continuously. And so we trust in you and we depend upon the Holy Spirit's ability to do that which only God can do when we open your word. And when we open your word together here as a body of believers and look at it together, we trust that the Holy Spirit will be working in each and every life, bringing conviction, making corrections in our path, helping us to follow you as we are led by the Holy Spirit of God. Give us understanding today. Give us humility. Prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to separate our minds, our thinking, from the things of the world right now, and to focus on what God is saying to me. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want us to go back and look very carefully at verse 6. That's where we'll be spending our time today. Verse 6 is an introductory verse that covers all of chapter 4, including the first five verses. It's actually pertains to all the verses in chapter 4. And verse 6 says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things." Again, what things? We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but we're looking at all the things that Paul says in chapter 4, including what we covered last week about many departing from the faith and there being many false teachers and false prophets in the world in the last days. All of these things fall under this verse. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, if you remind the congregations of these things frequently, if you do that, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt also be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, the things whereunto thou hast attained. We're going to study that phrase here in just a few minutes. But first of all, by way of introduction to get into this, I want us to look at the middle of the verse first. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I want to stop right there. We've talked about this a number of times, and so I just want to give you a word of reminder. What is a good minister? Because if we understand what Paul is meaning by a good minister, then we understand that these words are not just for Timothy. These words are not just for a church leader somewhere. These words are not just for an elder or a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. These words, these exhortations, these encouraging words are meant for every single one of us. So let's think about a good minister. Over the next several weeks, today and the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the marks of a good minister. Well, first of all, the word good means noble or praiseworthy or honorable. I certainly want to be an honorable minister or servant of Jesus Christ. And I believe you do as well. I believe that each and every one of us here today want our life to count. We want to make a difference in this world for the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who gave us eternal life, the one who lifted us out of the miry clay of sin, the one who gave us changed our condition from being under condemnation to therefore there being now no condemnation. Jesus Christ has done an awful lot for us. We want to be an honorable servant. We want to be a profitable servant. The word good is very important. The word minister, we've talked about many times. The word minister comes from the old Greek word doulos. And you may remember that a doulos is a slave, a bond servant, one who has given himself to another for a lifetime of service. A doulos, a bond servant, a bond slave. When we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, He called us into ministry. He called us into service. He didn't just save us so we could sit, soak, and sour in a church pew and wait for the rapture. He called us into service so that others could see the light of Jesus Christ in us. And so we are all doulos. If we have responded to the challenge, responded to the command of Scripture to go into all the world and teach, to go share, to be a witness, to let others know what you have seen and what you know to be true. You say, well, I've never seen Jesus Christ. How do I know He lives? What does the song say? You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And you might say, well, you're just saying, well, you say He lives because you feel something. You feel Him living in your heart. But I also see His daily guidance. I hear His Word speaking to me through the living Bible, through the Word of God. I see the things that God is doing. I see the lives that are changing. I see the commitments people are making to Him. This is real, folks. Jesus Christ is alive. He is God. He's working in hearts and lives today, including mine, and I know including many of you, if not all of you as well. And so we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ if we have listened to, for example, the words of the Apostle Paul that says, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. Take my life. Let it be a life that is given to you, surrendered to you, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, being used to produce fruit for the kingdom of heaven, being used as a lamp to shine the love of Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ into all the world today. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called to do that, and we must yield ourselves to that. So the word minister, one who serves, from doulos. It comes from the original word diako. Now a diako, that's a noun that simply means teaching, or one who teaches, one who gives instructions. And in the strictest sense, it's referring to, yes, in context, back in chapter 3, we started talking about this subject of the office of a bishop and the office of a deacon. And we defined bishop as an elder or a pastor teacher, one who is ruling in a local church, one who is using his God-given gifts and abilities to minister to people, specifically through the avenue of teaching the Word of God. Also, deacon, one who serves. A deacon is one who serves the congregation, looking out for the welfare of the congregation, not only in a spiritual sense, but also in a physical sense, taking care of needs through prayer, through giving, through making others aware of the needs that exist, and so on. And so these men are servants of God. But in the broadest sense of the term, diakos is anyone who ministers, anyone who serves. You could be a servant by helping somebody out who's maybe shut in and bedfast, and they can't clean their house or cook their meals. And so you take them a meal, or you come and help clean their house, or you take them to a doctor's appointment. Or you minister by singing a special in church and blessing the Lord and the congregation through the avenue of music. Or you come and you serve in the capacity of a trustee, or help the trustees by repairing the church and keeping the facilities, God's house, up to date and up in good condition. We have a lot of people in that capacity, men and women, who serve in that way. You are servants in the broadest sense of the word diakos. And you not only do it, but you teach others to do what you're doing by example. Others will come along and follow your example. And so the work of the ministry will continue long after you're gone. And so you are, in the broadest sense of the word, you are a minister. So I wanted to remind you of that. You are a minister. What is the mark? What are the marks of a good minister or a good servant of Jesus Christ? And so with that being said, I'd like for us to conscientiously study the walk of a good minister or a good servant of Jesus Christ. What are the marks? Looking at the first one, and if you have your outline there, we are to remind the brethren to cleave to the Lord and to the Word of God. You say, well, I've heard that before. Didn't we just preach about that? Yes, we did. Yes, we did, because there's going to be a terrible falling away from the faith, verses 1 through 5. Because of that, we need to encourage one another to stick to the Lord. Don't depart from the faith. Don't run away when things get difficult, when Satan tempts you. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Bill. A lot of the things you said intertwine with what I was going to say this morning, but we're all tempted in so many areas. We need to encourage one another. Stick to the Lord. Stick to the truth of God's Word. Don't go looking for more truth, because there's not more truth. Terrible grammar, but you get the point. I wrote in the margin of my Bible there in Psalm chapter 119, where you were this morning, many, many years ago, Dr. Don Smith down at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church made the statement, if it's new, it's probably not true. If it's true, it's not new. It's been in the Bible for thousands of years. And we need to follow what the Bible says, because that is truth. All truth is God's truth, and God's truth is the Word of God. And so we need to encourage one another. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study the Word of God. God has something. Every time you open your Bible, ask God to show you something applicable, something that applies to your life, some principle to follow, some sin to confess, some example to live by, some light that you need to see on God's truth that you never saw before. So by reminding the brethren to cleave to the Lord and the Word of God, we are obeying what Paul said there, to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And when we're talking about these things, what are we talking about again? I'm kind of redundant and I'm repeating myself, but I want you to clearly get the idea that overall statement that covers all of chapter 4 covers also the things in verses 1 through 5, as well as verses 6 through 16. So when he says, put the brethren in remembrance, remind the brethren, remind one another, remind the church of these things. First of all, these things that Paul has just warned about. Again, that some would depart from the faith, that there will be false teachers among you. A good minister, a good servant of Jesus Christ, warns. He is a warning individual, warning people, don't listen to what the world is saying. Don't listen to what some of the TV preachers who haven't been tested and screened by the standards of God's Word are saying. Make sure that what you're hearing taught, even in this pulpit by me, make sure it's biblical. Examine the Scripture to see if these things are true. And that's why when Pastor Zach and I and Bill and Don, when we teach and preach, we compare Scripture with other Scriptures and show you what the whole Word of God says. And so a good minister is going to be warning the people that these things are true. Don't depart from them. Stick to the Word of God. Secondly, I believe that these things also refers to all of the instructions that follow. Verses 7 through 16. And like I said, it depends on how you divide and look at these lists of things. I find 12 things here, including this first one, that we are to cleave to the Lord and to the Word of God. And you may find more, you might find less, but we're going to be looking at these things over the next few weeks. We also notice that by doing so, we are being an example in word in conversation, in charity, in giving attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We are not neglecting the gift that is in us, and so forth and so forth. And so these things apply to what's to follow. We also realize that we as believers are sanctified and kept by the word of truth. Look at verse 5. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What is? The truth of the word of God. The faith. Those who have departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, they should have stuck to the word of God. Because the word of God leads us to faith. Faith comes by, we hear this all the time, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith and the word of God, also meant there, is sanctified. It is hagios. It is set apart. It is holy. It is consecrated to the Lord. And so God wants to work through you and I. Why? Because simply we belong to Him. We are His vessels. We are His instruments used to spread the word of God, used to encourage people that these things are true. What you find in the word of God, it's true. It is sanctified. It is sanctified how? By the method of the word of God, teaching and preaching and using the word to encourage others, sharing the word of God, witnessing, using the word of God, the word of God. The faith is sanctified, it is set apart by the word of God and by prayer. Don't neglect prayer. Again, prayer is important in the everyday life of a Christian. All of you would agree with me on that. There are some things, we were talking Wednesday night about Jesus casting an evil spirit out of a young boy who had been possessed pretty much all of his life, who tortured this young boy to almost to the point of death many times, and his father brought him to Jesus and said, "Can you help my son?" And he said, "Your disciples couldn't do anything for this boy. They tried to cast the spirit out of him. They tried to heal him. They were powerless. They couldn't do anything. I'm coming to you as a last resort." And Jesus, after casting the evil spirit out of the boy, made this powerful statement. "These things come not but by prayer and fasting." There are things in our life that will never be accomplished. Mountaintops, mountains that need to be moved. Talk about faith moving mountains. There are mountains in our life that can only be moved by prayer and fasting. So that's why we annually challenge you to join us for a time of prayer and fasting, 21 days of prayer and fasting, as Daniel and his friends did back in the book of Daniel. Not that that's the only time we should pray and fast. It should be a regular habit in the life of the Christian. There should be things in your life that are troubling you, things in your life that are goals that you want to see accomplished in the name of the Word, in the name of God. People that you would like to see saved. People that you would like to see delivered from a terrible habit. Or people that you would like to see draw closer to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life. And you say, "Nothing's happening. I keep praying and praying and praying. And these people don't get saved. These people don't change. This situation doesn't go away." Why? What's going on? Have you fasted? Have you dedicated special time where you say, "Lord, I'm willing to give something up in order to draw near to you, in order to pray in such a way that I see the Spirit of God begin to move and work in our lives, in their lives." And so this is something very important to the minister of God. We need to be much in the Word of God, reading, studying, meditating, and as Bill said, memorizing. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." We need to memorize the Word of God. We need to get it into our heart, our life, our mind. What's so important about the Word of God and prayer? If we're going to get to heaven, dear friends, we are going to step through the door of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the only door, the only way into heaven. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. We find Him on the pages of Scripture. We find Him in the activities taking place in the New Testament. We find Him as the coming Savior and King in the Old Testament. We look to our Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. We step through the gates of heaven through that door, and that door is Jesus, the truth. God in Jesus, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:19, was reconciling the world unto Himself. As you know, without Jesus Christ, we are separated from God. Death is separation from God eternally. If we die without Jesus Christ, we will forever be separated from God. Just like when we die physically, the body is going to be separated from the spirit and soul. That spirit and soul do not die. They are everlasting. They are eternal. They are going to be somewhere, either heaven or hell. What we do with Jesus Christ makes the difference. And so a good minister preaches and teaches and lives the Word. Not traditions, not history, not the doctrines of devils, not the lies of hypocrisy, not social politics, but we cleave to and we cling to the Word of God. Brother Bill, I'd like to quote you. This morning you said, God's Word is a guide to what God approves. You know, people say that there are many black and whites. There are a lot of gray areas. And some people say, well, if it's a gray area, God gives the Christian the liberty to do whatever he wants. I suggest when there are gray areas, we have the liberty to do what God wants. We have the freedom to do what God would approve of. We have the freedom to live a life that is holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Dr. John MacArthur said the failure to be biblical and theological in preaching, teaching, and may I add, in our witnessing, has cost today's church dearly. It has allowed the infiltration of all sorts of evil in today's church, what we call biblical fundamental evangelical church today. The church in the world today, he says, has become weak and confused about major doctrinal truths. It's interesting how as I talked with Pastor Zach, and we've been thinking, okay, we're finished eschatology, at least a panoramic view of it, or will be in the next couple of weeks, two more Sunday nights. Where do we go from here? We've been talking about what are we going to do now? And it's interesting how the Holy Spirit was working in his heart the same way he was working in my heart. And so one of us, I don't remember which one, says, well, I don't know, what are you thinking? And I think he asked me, he says, what are you thinking? And I said, well, the subject of doctrines keeps coming up in my preaching. Doctrine this, doctrine that. And we've defined doctrine. We said it's those things that we know to be true about God as revealed in the Bible, in Scripture. There are many different areas and subjects and disciplines of doctrine. And I said, well, yeah, I don't know. I think the Lord wants us to do a detailed study of what doctrines it is. What do we believe? What are our doctrines? What do we believe to be true about God as revealed in Scripture? And he says, you know what? I've been thinking the same thing. I've been thinking the same thing. We need to do a study on doctrine itself. What is it that we believe? Dr. Robert A. Cook wrote a little book that every Christian ought to believe. It's simply called Now That You Believe. It's just a little paperback book for new Christians. This is what we believe as Christians. The basic doctrines of the Bible. And so we're going to be studying, Lord willing, if he tarries. In a few weeks, we're going to start in on the doctrine of anthropology. Where did I come from? How did I get here? What is man? What are his characteristics? What are his responsibilities before his Creator? Those are important things for you and I to know. And how I got into all that, I have no idea. Dr. MacArthur, he says, the church in the world today has become weak and confused about major doctrinal truths. We need to know what we believe. Convictionless preaching, he said, consisting of watered-down teaching and weak theology, has replaced doctrinally sound expositional teaching and preaching. Did you ever go into a church and sit through a service and walk out afterwards and wonder, what was the preacher talking about? What was the point of that sermon? What was the subject? What did he say? I've been there. I'm sure you have too. So many pastors and Bible colleges have failed to draw the line clearly between truth and error, and to build people up in the rich and sound doctrine of God's Word. This is the major reason, Dr. MacArthur says, why I am so thankful for pastors who preach and teach clearly the truths found in the Bible, God's Word. It's also the reason, dear friends, that I'm so thankful for Pastor Zach. I believe God's given us a man who's going to be faithful in building this congregation up on the convictions of the Holy Scriptures. A man whose life shows that he fears God and he reveres the Word of God. A lot of times, Dr. MacArthur says, churches settle for weak preaching because they're satisfied with a man who has a quote-unquote preacher's heart. A pastor's heart, he says, I love this, a pastor's heart is not measured by how good a man is at petting the sheep, but how well he protects them from the wolves and feeds them so that they grow to be mature and strong. We hear a strong warning from Ezekiel the prophet. In Ezekiel chapter 3, God says through this prophet, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore fear the word at my mouth. Give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him no warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So we need to encourage one another to stick to the Word of God, to understand the Scripture as revealed by the Holy Spirit, to interpret the Word of God as it applies to my life today, and to encourage others to do so. Secondly, we need to preach and teach the things which we have learned from godly sources. The last phrase kind of cements this verse altogether. Before we go back and pick up the second part of being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, I want to look at those four words, whereunto thou hast attained. What does that mean? Timothy, I want you to remind the brethren of these things, whereunto thou hast attained, the things that you have learned. The things that you have learned about the Word of God. It simply echoes again what Paul is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So a good minister is one who reminds the brethren. By being a good minister, he reminds the brethren to stick to the Word of God. And then secondly, he is a good student of the Word of God himself. A good student. Also here in verse 6, in verse 6b, he needs to be a good minister. He will be a good minister if he continues to be nourished up. And I say continues to be because this verb is in the present active tense. You are continuing to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. You're continuing to learn. You're continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Peter exhorts us to do in the closing of his second book. We are continuing to learn, a student always, till the day we die, till the day God calls us home. We need to be in the Word of God, studying, reading, meditating on the Word of God. Be nourished up. Nourished up is a phrase that deals with raising children, babies. When the baby is born, it needs to be fed, right? It's not going to grow and nourish itself. You need to give it nourishment. You need to be feeding that baby, taking care of that baby, comforting it, holding it in your hands, building a bond, a relationship with that baby. We need to be doing that ourselves in the Word of God. We need to be constantly feeding from, nourished up in the Word of God. Teachers, preachers, counselors, they cannot be nourishing others up if they themselves are not continuously being fed. Pastors and teachers and elders and Sunday school teachers, we didn't need to do a lot more than just prepare a sermon and deliver a sermon to others so that they can hear what they believe that God wants them to hear. But we need to come to the Word of God every single day. Lord, feed me. Feed me. I want to have something to give when I'm teaching and preaching. I need to be fed first. I always admired the first pastor Debbie and I had after we were married. Pastored a little church there in Peru, Indiana, or just outside of Peru. He was a recent Bible college student from Grace Seminary. And I was just dumbfounded. I guess that's not a good word, but I was in awe. That's better term. I was in awe. Every Sunday we would go and we would sit under Pastor Bob. And I asked him one time, I says, "Where do you get all this stuff?" I mean, it was like going to a banquet spread out on a table every Sunday. It was rich, it was applicable, it was material that was just feeding us as young Christians every time we heard him speak. And he says, "That's simple." He says, "At the beginning of the week, I just say, 'Lord, show me what I need. Feed me what I need this week. And as you teach me, I'll share it with others.'" And he became a vast resource for many young people growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the military people sat under his ministry, and like Debbie and I, ended up going into ministry. So what have we learned today? Hopefully you won't go out and say, "Well, I don't have any idea what that preacher talked about today." It's important for each of us to be studying the marks of a good servant, to understand I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good one. I want to be a noble one. Lord, show me. In this passage of Scripture we're getting ready to study, really convict me of things that I need in my own life, things that need to become part of me, things that need to become more disciplined, areas that need to be surrendered. We owe it to the one who died for us that we might have the gift of eternal life, because he gave us so much in order to give it to others. Not just so that we could have eternal life and so we could enjoy salvation and have the blessings that God wants to give us. Ephesians chapter 1, being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. But he wants us to share it with others as well. That's why we have it. So we need to study what it is that makes a good servant of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need to remind one another, our first principle today. We need to constantly remind one another to cleave to the Word of God. Stick to the Word of God. Stick to the truth. Love your Bible. Read your Bible. Examine the things that you're hearing from this pulpit. Make sure that they line up with Scripture. Thirdly, we need to remember that to be faithful, we need to warn one another of errors and false teaching. When it comes along, we need to be aware that it is going to come, and we need to be able to spot it right away, and to protect each other as a shepherd protects the sheep. But most important, all that being said, the most important thing that I want you to take from this today, I want you to know that as born-again believers, as saints of God, we are among those who the Bible in verse 6 calls the brethren. The brethren. Those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Those who have placed themselves in the hand of God by faith. Those who know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, and to Him you owe your entire life. Do you know that you are saved today? Do you know that you are among the brethren? Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us the guidance of your word and for giving us the Holy Spirit to teach us, for helping us to see what it is you're saying to us today. Lord, feed us, nourish us up in the words of doctrine. Help us to understand clearly the things that you're saying to us. But Lord, it's much more than that. We need to now take it with us outside of the doors of this church, and we need to use it to build up one another. We need to use it to draw others to you. We need to use it in our service, our ministry. Help us to be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.